So I was thinking this week, we are in our good series. I also knew that Youth 1.0 would be arriving back here, that we'd be hearing from Katie Bree about Rwanda. And so I thought to myself, what do we make of moments like this? Now, if you've been in on a youth camp, then you know the experience of coming back and the excitement of that. And you're on a high that lasts generally once you get in the car after church, and then the lack of sleep starts to kick in. But it's an emotional high. Also, if you've ever been on mission or if you've ever traveled, then you'll know that when you're in those kind of experiences, that it stimulates something in you. It's a buzz, you could call it. But it's not just it's not just youth camps, it's not just mission trips that we feel this kind of thing. And you might have, some people would refer to it as a peak experience or a mountaintop experience or a liminal experience even, which is where it's kind of talking about a moment where it's like you cross a threshold. So what you're experiencing goes beyond what is actually happening in that moment. Its significance goes beyond it. And so you might have experienced it when you've experienced something new. So new scenery, a new adventure, a new relationship. And so that those things stir different things in you. You might have experienced it in the world, in a sunrise or a sunset or a mountain or an ocean, or a creature, or a flower, and just there's something about your experience of it that just transcends the moment. Or it might be a dream, if you've ever had a dream and woken up and just thought, if I could live in that dream for the rest of my life, I would. There was just something about the dream that was so perfect that you just want to go back to it. Or it might be something you experience in relationship. It might be when you fall in love, or when you experience forgiveness, or mercy, or reconciliation, or encouragement. When you're just in a relationship or in a group of people and you experience something there that just makes you go, oh my gosh, wow, that is amazing. Or it could even be in activities like reading a book, or listening to music, or looking at art, or exercise even, going for a run, or coming to church. I think in life, we will, if you haven't already, you will, but I think we have these moments in life where we experience something that just takes us out of the ordinary and allows us to feel something that we don't necessarily feel in the day-to-day. And so as I was thinking about that, I thought of C.S. Lewis. Because C.S. Lewis explored this idea a lot. This idea that within us is something that wants to transcend our everyday experience. And what C.S. Lewis said is actually the more important thing is not the experience itself, but it's the longing that that experience awakens in us. So let me read to you something that C.S. Lewis wrote. When the real want for heaven is present in us, we do not recognize it. Most people, if they had really learned to look into their own hearts, would know that they do want, they want acutely, something that cannot be had in this world. There are all sorts of things in this world that offer to give it to you, but they never quite keep their promise. The longings which arise in us when we first fall in love, or first think of some foreign country, or first take up some subject that excites us, are longings which no marriage, no travel, no learning can really satisfy. I am not now speaking of what would ordinarily be called unsuccessful marriages, or holidays, or learned careers. I'm speaking of the best possible ones. There was something we grasped at in that first moment of longing, which just fades away in the reality. I think everyone knows what I mean. The wife may be a good wife, and the hotels and scenery may have been excellent, and chemistry may be a very interesting job, but something has evaded us. And so what he's talking about is when we're in these moments where we experience something that for us feels like it transcends our everyday, it awakens us a realization of something that we're really longing for. And then once we're aware of that longing, we find that our experiences in this life can't satisfy it. And so what do? Well, C.S. Lewis says, first of all, don't dismiss it. And that's in the moment or later. Don't put what you felt, don't put what you experienced down as nostalgia or romanticism or youthfulness and just move on. Don't just say, huh, that was weird, and then get on with your life as normal. But C.S. Lewis says also, be careful not to attach your longings to the objects of your experience. And so there's a tendency, and I know this when I went to youth camp, that I had such an amazing experience on the youth camp, all I wanted to do was go on more youth camps so that I could feel that again. And same for the Rwanda team. You had such an amazing time over there. And there's a tendency to be like, I want to go back there. Back there is where that feeling comes from. Back there on that trip, back there in that relationship, back there when I watched that movie or read that book or was in that group of people, we tend to attach our feelings, we tend to attach our longings to the objects, to the things, to the specific context where we experience them. But this is what C.S. Lewis says about that. He says, the books or the music in which we thought the beauty was located will betray us if we trust to them. It was not in them. It only came through them. And what came through them was longing. These things, the beauty, the memory of our own past, are good images of what we really desire. But if they are mistaken for the thing itself, they turn into dumb idols, breaking the hearts of their worshippers, for they are not the thing itself. They are only the scent of a flower we have not found, the echo of a tune we have not heard, news from a country we have never yet visited. The Bible tells us that God gives us opportunities to taste his goodness. He gives us glimpses of heaven, glimpses of the glory that he has made us for. In Psalm 34, the psalmist says, open your mouth and taste, open your eyes and see how good God is. Blessed are you who run to him. And in Corinthians, the apostle Paul says, we've been given a glimpse of the real thing. Our true home, our resurrection bodies, the Spirit of God whets our appetite by giving us a taste of what's ahead. He puts a little of heaven in our hearts so that we'll never settle for less. The last reading here from C.S. Lewis. He says, the Christian says, creatures are not born with desires unless satisfaction for those desires exists. A baby feels hunger. Well, there is such a thing as food. A duckling wants to swim. Well, there is such a thing as water. Men feel sexual desire. Well, there is such a thing as sex. If I find in myself a desire which no experience in this world can satisfy, the most probable explanation is that I was made for another world. If none of my earthly pleasures satisfy it, that does not prove that the universe is a fraud. Probably earthly pleasures were never meant to satisfy it, but only to arouse it, to suggest the real thing. If that is so, I must take care on the one hand never to despise or be unthankful for these earthly blessings, and on the other, never to mistake them for the something else of which they are only a kind of copy or echo or mirage. I must keep alive in myself the desire for my true country, which I shall not find till after death. I must never let it get snowed under or turned aside. I must make it the main object of life to press on to that other country and to help others do the same. So, for the youth, for our Rwanda team, for any of you who have experienced a moment in which you felt this transcendent feeling, something that went beyond your day-to-day, something even went beyond your understanding or ability to explain it, and yet you knew it was real. Whether you experienced love or beauty or power or majesty or relationship, it's so easy to be distracted after we experience those things. It's so easy to get back to our normal lives. And when we do that, when we just move on, when we forget about this thing that we've experienced, not only do we forget about the experience, or does the experience have less power to impact us, but even more tragically, we forget about the longing that that experience aroused in us. That longing that reminds us that God has created us not only for this world, but for an eternal future, an eternal kingdom, an eternal glory. God has made all of us for glory. That's what C.S. Lewis was getting at in this. He says we're too easily satisfied. We're too quick to forget the moments where we go, oh my gosh, if I could have that for the rest of my life, I would be satisfied. And so we forget those longings, and we're too easily satisfied with things that don't ultimately meet that longing. And so he says, remember, whenever you experience something, whenever you look at a sunrise or a sunset, whenever you experience forgiveness or grace or love or mercy in a relationship, whenever you experience one aspect of life that takes you beyond that moment, remember, that's what you've been made for. And don't go chasing after the object again, but go chasing after the one who made that object so that you could experience it and be reminded that you were made to find all of your longings and desires to be perfectly and eternally satisfied in Him. Now, how do you do that? Well, that's what church is. That's what church should be. Now, the good news is, in a way, good news. The good news is that church isn't supposed to be something where we come and have these peak experiences every week or every moment. And that's good news because that's not actually our experience. And so if it was supposed to be that and it's not that, that would be a problem. We do have these moments. Moments in worship where just across the room we sense God's presence. Moments in worship where maybe no one else in the room senses it, but you yourself are convicted that God loves you and that He's calling you to joy. Moments where someone is speaking from the front and a word is spoken and it pierces through into the deepest part of your being. Moments where you feel a joy that can't be described. Moments where you feel a sense of belonging that you know you want and didn't know was possible. We do have these moments in church. But we don't have them all the time. But what church is a community that comes together to remind each other that it's these moments that tell us who we are and who made us and what our destiny is, so that we don't go back into our daily lives and forget, so that we don't go back into lives where we're too easily satisfied by the things of this world and we have such a low expectation of our lives because we accept the disappointments of this life. When we come together, God says, my church is going to be the one that encourages each other, that reminds each other, that speaks hope to each other. That when we come together, we're reminded that God is calling us to glory. That that is our destiny. That is the invitation he gives us. And so that every taste that we've had in this life, every glimpse of God and his goodness that we've had in his life, every moment where we've been encouraged or loved or forgiven or inspired or connected with each other in a meaningful way in our lives, every glimpse and taste that we've had in this life in heaven will be perfect and never ending. And so when we gather, we rejoice. When we gather, we remind, don't settle for a lesser life. Don't just ignore these moments. Don't try to find them in the pages of a book or the notes of a song or in a town in a country far off. God is calling us to an eternal heavenly country, and in him we will find everything that we're looking for. I want to invite the band to come up. And I want to invite all of you guys to stand. And we're going to worship God in song. But I do want to invite you, first of all, as we begin to sing, if you've never had a moment like that, and you feel like life's pretty mundane and you're not really sure what I've just been talking about, then as we sing, I'll just be brave and ask God, hey, give me a taste. Give me a glimpse. I got no idea what Andrew's talking about up there. But you can show me. And if you have had a taste, if you have had a glimpse, then can I encourage you as we worship to take that moment to say, I'm going to pursue that. I'm going to believe that that is my destiny, and I'm going to seek that in relationship with God and let him know that.